You're listening to Partners United on Accountability, brought to you by Shehu Musa Yaradua Foundation.
Welcome, everyone, to our podcast of today on inclusiveness in accountability effort and the fight against corruption of the current government. My name is Olanrewaju Suraju. I am the chairman of HEDA Resource Center, the NGO focusing on accountability, transparency, and good governance with environmental justice, in collaboration with the Shehu Musa Yaradua Foundation, the organizer of this podcast. Joining us today is Professor Issa Sadiq Rada, the Executive Secretary of the Presidential Advisory Committee on Anti-Corruption. Professor Rada was the former Deputy Vice Chancellor in ABU and activist at the ASU level before his appointment to the membership of the Presidential Advisory Committee on Anti-Corruption and eventually the Executive Secretary of PACAC. Welcome, Professor Rada, and welcome also our listeners.
Thank you so very much.
Our topic for today is looking at inclusiveness in accountability efforts. I can confidently say between 2015 and to date, talking about close to 7 years of the advent of the current regime, you have also been part of the process of the whole anti-corruption agenda, one of the cardinal points of this government. As the PACAC member and eventually the executive secretary, can you please take us through some of your interventions around the accountability, transparency, and anti-corruption under this government, particularly looking at how much of effort at ensuring the collective participation of every stakeholders?
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. As you are aware, the Presidential Advisory Committee Against Corruption was established in 2015, August. We are the very first committee to be established by the president in fulfillment of his campaign promise that when elected, he will do his best to fight corruption and upon taking the terms of reference of the mandate given to us, we realized that minimally there are two approaches to the fight against corruption in Nigeria. One, you will have to consider what you will do within Nigeria to fight corruption. Then secondly, corruption being a transborder crime, you have to know what to do outside the country in the fight against corruption. So as a committee, we sat down, looked at the terms of reference, and based on that, we realized that first and foremost, we have to reach out to the Ministry of Justice because there are quite a number of legal issues that have to be tidied up. Secondly, we felt we must reach out to the anti-corruption agencies because they are the critical actors in the fight against corruption. Then thirdly, we realized that many regulatory bodies in Nigeria actually are the ones promoting corruption because they have been captured by the very agencies of government they are supposed to control. So we reached out to regulatory bodies. We also realized that law enforcement agencies in the country like custom, immigration, civil defense corps, the police, they all have to be brought on board in the fight against corruption. So we did a lot regarding that. But we realized that part of the problem largely is to do with the judiciary. So we spent a lot of time interfacing with lawyers, interfacing with the judges. And based on that, we came up with many manuals on how to guide the country in the fight against corruption. And I must tell you that within the country, a lot of activities have been done. And we are happy to say that we have documented quite a number of things that needs to be done to fight corruption. Finally, we realized that the voice of the civil society organizations is very essential in the fight against corruption. So these were the critical mass of stakeholders that we took on board when we began the fight against corruption. But we realized many people in Nigeria who have stolen funds and have taken it abroad, we have to pursue them. So we traveled to many countries in the world, especially countries of interest like UK, US, even Rwanda, where people will steal from Nigeria and go to Ghana, Rwanda, UK, US. So we have mutual legal assistance with many countries so that people who have stolen from Nigeria and have taken it abroad, we can see how it can be brought back. And as you can see from 2015 to date, some progress has been made in the fight against corruption. We have a long way to go, but we have made a lot of progress. At least in this country today, people are discussing the issue of corruption. In the past, in the previous government, I mean, it was the Vogue. It was fashionable to be corrupt. But today we are saying, no, let's stop it. There is pushback. It is fighting back, but we have put it on the table. It's part of the agenda. Everywhere the president travels within or outside Nigeria, he makes it a point that corruption should continue to be fought in Nigeria. Likewise, the vice president. So I'm happy to say we have done a lot. And that's why many convictions have been made. Properties have been confiscated. Even today within Nigeria, we have a lot of confiscations. Outside the country, many nations are helping Nigeria to bring back a lot of loot. So we are making progress, but still we have some work to do.
And I can see that Nigeria is already, particularly with EFCC, is already reciprocating by assisting also almost the FBI to arrest some cyber criminals in the ones that are found in Nigeria. How do you want to also respond to the experiences and some of the, I can say, reciprocal responses from the international community in terms of the returning of the recovered assets or assisting even to recover some of the looted assets?
Well, frankly speaking, it's both sweet and sour. Sweet and sour because, on the one hand, when we get agitated, these countries will help us and we get some money back. Like the UK has helped us, Switzerland has helped us, America has helped us. But there are still a lot of resources belonging to Nigeria in the United States, in UK, Switzerland, and a host of other countries. So I will say sweet and sour, they are helping. But you know, this international matter. By the time as a country, as a victim country, if you keep quiet, then nobody is going to listen to you. That's why we have made it a point at PACAC that we must always shout and shout and shout and show the world that we have a lot of money stashed in the UK, in the US, in Switzerland, and in many parts of the world. Therefore, we want it back. This one will help us get the money back, then it will discourage Nigerians from stealing from Nigeria and traveling abroad. So I must tell you that to a certain extent, we are happy with many countries that are safe haven for stolen funds because they have helped us to get something back. This was not the case during the last government because they know the last government, once they bring back the money, they will reloot it. But now, even if there is going to be relooting, the money will not be looted. I mean, will not be relooted entirely. Because I believe there is still corruption in the country, but some progress has been made. People are more careful today. People are more watchful today. So these countries are helping, but we need more support because Nigeria can go a long way if, for example, we get the cooperation of the United Arab Emirates, the US, the UK, Switzerland, Rwanda, Ghana. Nigeria will go a long way. In fact, we don't have to borrow money if we can get our money back from all these countries.
Fantastic. I mean, this would lead me to the next question, which is about the management of the recovered loot and assets. Good enough, we have seen that the Senate recently just also passed the Process of Crime Bill, which is the framework for the management of recovered assets. How do you respond to the challenging situation of the lack of a comprehensive process of crime recovered management to at least assure citizens and also the international communities? How do we also ensure that we take maximum advantage of the moment to reassure the international communities and citizens on our utilization of the recovered assets?
Well, frankly speaking, on the issue of asset management, Nigeria is not doing very well, and I'm not happy about it. Let's be honest. This is because Nigeria has seized a lot of property. Some of this property is just wasting. When we came as a committee, we invited some of our stakeholders from South Africa. With them, we developed a manual on how to manage recovered assets. The essence of that philosophy we had was anything that has been seized, whether temporarily or permanently forfeited to the government, can be managed at least to maintain the value, even if we don't add value. But if you go around houses, hotels, vehicles, ships, filling stations, I mean, it's not good enough. It's good to confiscate it so that people will know there is no benefit in crime. But then what has been confiscated should be maintained so that there is value addition or value maintenance, so that know-how, the country will not lose. Our idea was that even if we're in court, anything that is in contention should be taken over by an agency of government. So I am happy that the National Assembly is now working hard to ensure that we have an agency that will maintain, not recover. You know, the agency we want established is not meant to arrest anybody, investigate anybody, prosecute anybody, or confiscate property. No, all these duties are the duties of the ICPC, EFCC, Code of Conduct Bureau, NFIU, Custom, Immigration. All these agencies have the powers to confiscate. But after confiscation, we need a specialized agency that will ensure that what has been confiscated, whether perishable or not perishable, money, gold, bra, pants, and what have you, should be maintained properly. Even if they are in contention, they should be maintained properly. The reason why we need it to be maintained is to ensure that even if the owner of the property wins in court, such owner can get the property in good condition. And if the government wins, then the government will get it in good condition and use it properly. So I'm happy that the National Assembly is proactive on this. Ministry of Justice has also set up a committee for the disposal of assets. But we should all be happy if the National Assembly becomes very swift and pass the Process of Crime Bill into an act, so that we have an agency dedicated to the preservation of property recovered, because we have a lot of them. And if you don't know what I'm talking about regarding what has been recovered, please talk to ICPC. They have recovered a lot of property. The EFCC has recovered a lot of property within and outside the country. So we cannot allow this one that has been recovered to go to rest, or some people will go and reloot it. But if you have an agency of government, then they will look after it, and there will be value maintenance and value addition.
I can only hope that the Ministry of Justice would also sit up and then put together his act and jettison the experience of having conflicting actions and also communication from the ministry about the committee, about the disposal, that has another agency that would prosecute, that would forfeit, and all the rest of that. I hope it will be understood that what is required is a specialized agency that is just meant for management of the asset, which will show to the world that we are really serious are not just confused about how we want to deal with the management of recovered assets.
You know, the idea is that by the time we have the agency legally established, then any unit in Nigeria that is established to maintain property will be abolished. We have them in custom, immigration. We have them all over. We have a unit in the Ministry of Justice. All of them will now be abolished, and everything that has been recovered will go centrally. And people can track. Civil society organizations can track. Whatever has been recovered will go to them. Then we will track and monitor and ensure that there is transparency and accountability.
We would really look forward to that. Like I said, we would look forward to the central ministry, which is the Ministry of Justice, actually coordinating and ensuring the participation of all the critical stakeholders in dealing with the issue. I also want to then move to the judiciary. I remember that the PACAC already convened a meeting and a communique was issued as to the experiences of the anti-corruption effort with the judiciary, or I can say administration of criminal justice in Nigeria. Would you want to shed some light on the frustrations, the challenges, and also the effort of the government and PACAC at addressing these issues, considering the strategic importance of the judiciary to particularly even the asset recovery that we're talking about, and also the successful fight against corruption?
You see, as a committee, we must say that we are not very happy with the judiciary. And when I say judiciary, I mean three components of the judiciary. I mean especially senior lawyers, some judges, and the court registry. These three components of the judiciary have made the fight against corruption extremely difficult in Nigeria, because for them, the fight against corruption has been turned into a business. You have senior lawyers who are always willing, ready, and agitated to go and defend people who are accused of corruption. The wisdom is somebody who has stolen a lot will be defended by a very senior lawyer who can intimidate the judge, or intimidate, the lawyer of the government, you know. And these are the lawyers, the senior lawyers, who are alleged to collect money and go around and bribe the judges. The court registries connive with the lawyers to ensure that cases are sent to especially judges that are known to be corrupt. So this triangular axis of evil in the judiciary is making it extremely difficult for us to fight corruption in Nigeria. And the earlier we do something to salvage the country from the shackles of the judiciary we have, the better for Nigeria. I mean, many people have written recently to show that the judiciary has effectively been captured by corrupt elements, by family dynasties, and by individuals that have special interests. So we must do something. Some people in the judiciary accuse me of being so hostile to lawyers. I'm not saying every lawyer. There are lawyers we know are also very, very concerned regarding what is happening in the judiciary. We have a list of, I think, close to 1,000 lawyers that said they are willing to partner with PACAC to bring about better delivery of justice in Nigeria. So I'm not saying every single lawyer is bad, or every single judge is bad, or the court, but an overwhelming majority of these people in the judiciary are not helping in the fight against corruption. And for them, by and large, the fight against corruption is simply a business. A lawyer goes for a very high-profile case so that he or she can get maximum benefit. We feel, as a committee, under democracy, civilian rule, where things cannot be done by executive fiat, the judiciary must help the country by being honorable, by being predictable, by being swift, by being less technical. The entire thing about judiciary in Nigeria appears to be technicality over facts. And the more we continue like this, then the more we destroy our country, and the younger generation will not forgive us. Recent happenings regarding some state governors, like Ebonyi State, like Zamfara State, like River State, a couple of states, Imo State, will show you the unpredictability of our judiciary. You have the same issues, but the verdict is different. You have court precedents, but it's neglected. You have Supreme Court judgments, but it's ignored. So we keep wondering what sort of judiciary we have in Nigeria that you cannot predict with all confidence that the swing of justice will go right or left or center. You can't say that with any certainty delivery of justice is based on the facts in Nigeria today. What matters is technicalities, grammar, dramatizing issues, and at the end of it all, the person that has the most amount of money and most connection will have a field day. And I think this is not good enough. So for us as a committee, we have worked with the judiciary. We will continue to work with the judiciary because there is no alternative to the judiciary we have. No matter how bad or weak they are, that is what we have. We must continue to work with them. Judiciary is not like education sector where you can have private nursery, private secondary, private university. You can't have private lawyer, private courts, private. Even if you have private lawyer, the lawyer will go to the same court. We don't have private courts. So the judiciary must look at their centrality in making Nigeria orderly, stable, and prosperous. Without judiciary, we are going to be in a bigger mess in the future. So we are calling on judges, lawyers, especially the senior lawyers. I'm happy to say that we have some young lawyers within the system that are interested in reform. But you know, the legal profession is like a cult. Young lawyers, it's unlike in the academics where a graduate assistant can challenge a professor based on ideas. In the legal profession, that's not the case. In the courts, that's not the case. In the registry, that's not the case. So we must unbundle, you know, the judiciary. I'm not very happy with our civil society organizations. They spend a lot of time on electioneering, campaigns, politicians, election reforms, you know, but they do nothing regarding what happens or what our lawyers, our judges, and the court registry are doing. And that's the central issue. If you want to fight corruption, get a judiciary that is predictable, that is swift, that is fair, that is very, very progressive in its delivery of justice, not technical. If it is technicality, I mean, everybody can go and be technical. But you need a judiciary that has a sense of compassion, a sense of patriotism, and a sense of objectivity and fairness, so that people who have stolen in this country are put behind bars, and whatever they have is taken away from them.
And I know that there were designated courts for corruption cases by the NJC, which was meant to deal with corruption and financial crime cases for speedy dispensation and also report back to the NJC and the CJN. Unfortunately, there was the committee set up by the NJC to monitor committee revived or the courts, designated court for corruption and financial crime cases. We have them functional as a basis for the speedy dispensation of financial crimes and corruption cases.
You see, the committee was working with them, our committee, the Presidential Advisory Committee Against Corruption. I don't think there were courts, but there were divisions in courts. You know, there are courts in Abuja, in Port Harcourt, and I think Kaduna, that have divisions that will look at corruption cases only. But unfortunately, it is the same lawyers, the same judges, and court registries that have made them very dysfunctional. You see, if you don't have the support, cooperation, and collaboration of lawyers, judges, court registry, there is simply no innovative idea you can bring in the judiciary that will succeed. So the divisions were there in Port Harcourt, in Abuja, in Kaduna, but they didn't perform. Why? Because it goes antithetical to the financial gains of some of the elements in the judiciary. So it's good. Initially we said we should have courts that will simply try corruption cases, but that one required a very long process, including constitutional amendment. But as an alternative, we got divisions in some courts to do that. But even that one did not succeed. So some of us are even advocating that establishing new agencies, new units, new organizations in Nigeria is no longer useful. What you need is making maximum use of what we have on the ground today. We have enough courts, we have enough judges, we have enough lawyers. Everybody is educated. We pretend to be fully educated. Why is it that we can't deliver? If you ask people to give you their CV, they will show you a very flamboyant CV. But when it comes to delivery, people fail to deliver. You keep wondering, why do we have this gap between our education and our delivery of service to our citizens? You know, if people are looking for a job, they will show you they are the best. But when it comes to delivery, with honesty, with integrity, with patriotism, you find that why? So you see a gap between education and delivery. So the lawyers, the judges, people who work in the court registry should just re-examine their conscience. Let them look at what they are doing that is harming society. If they think they can have material benefits, their families are okay, well, these things will go round and it'll come back to them and their families. So they must be able to assert their conscience and see that they help this country, whether using the court divisions or using our current courts to ensure that all corrupt individuals are dealt with very severely. Even 2 days ago, an appeal court in Sokoto gave punishment to some civil servants in the Ministry of Finance, and these guys are going to prison, even though they have appealed. This is what we want. In Jos, we had a conviction a few weeks ago. So here and there you have, so we want a critical mass of judges and lawyers that will say this corruption issue should be given priority in Nigeria, because once you are able to tackle the issue of corruption in this country, many other things will fall in place. And for us to fight corruption effectively and to deter everybody, we need the judiciary. Judiciary should take the lead.
This would be important, like you have rightly mentioned, that it is not about the institution. It is more of our orientation and also the philosophy that we attach to office. This government is going to be 8 years and also exit in a matter of months from now. What will you be looking at as the legacy that this government will bequeath on the future generation? How do we want to sustain the whole effort? How do we want to make it a national assignment for everybody and not just a mantra of a political party or a government?
You see, frankly speaking, I'm very happy to come across President Muhammadu Buhari and Yemi Osinbajo. These are people whose character I can vouch for. They have helped the country to at least point to us publicly that corruption is the major problem we have, and they have never, since assuming office, they have never wavered regarding making it a political, economic, social, security issue. They have always told Nigerians that we can do whatever I want to do, but let us continue to do it. Unless we fight corruption, we are not likely to succeed. So I'm happy we have a government that have made fighting corruption as an agenda. If not because you have a president that says, let's discuss the issue, we wouldn't have been here talking about it. But for 8 years, we have been talking about it. We'll continue to talk about it. Therefore, Nigerians should thank this government. At least we have kept the issue of corruption on the table as a national agenda, and we should continue to do that. That's number one. Number two, a lot of reforms have been brought under this government. previous government, people were just going abroad and signing agreements on behalf of the government without the knowledge of the government. And if you remember the PNID, OPL 245, Paris Club Refund, many other issues, people in the ministries department will go and sign agreements and ditch the country. Some of them will collect money upfront. That will never happen again in Nigeria, because today, if you want to sign any agreement, then you need to have the Foreign Affairs Ministry, you need to have the Ministry of Justice, you need to have ICPC, EFCC. This is the barest minimum. In addition, many things have been introduced to block leakages. Just 2 days ago, the chairman of ICPC told the National Assembly that because of their effort, over 400 billion naira has been blocked from being embezzled. These are the things that you will not hear during the last government. So many things, some people make the mistake that by the time they hear it on the media, they think corruption is increasing. No, it's not increasing necessarily. The fact of the matter is today, actions are being taken and Nigerians are being told the actions being taken. In the past, it was a culture of conspiracy, a culture of silence, because everybody was waiting for the opportunity. And once you get it, you keep quiet. But today, there are some Nigerians who say, we don't want to steal anything belonging to the public. And once it is stolen, we'll pursue anybody who does that and we'll make sure they are punished. This is the difference. So Nigerians should look at where we were, the previous government. Election is around the corner. Nigerians will know what was stolen during the last government. Then Nigerians should compare the convictions we have during this government. What has been recovered? You know, the efforts being made by all the anti-corruption agencies to ensure that people who steal are arrested and prosecuted. So I'm happy to say that a lot has been achieved, not because the president is perfect or the vice president is perfect, but because they have given enough leadership. They were not involved. They didn't say arrest somebody. They didn't say those arrested should not be prosecuted. The president and the vice president have given ICPC, EFCC, Code of Conduct Bureau, NFI, they have given them their independence and they are performing to the best of their ability. I'm not saying they are all perfect, but they are doing the best they can within the situation we have found ourselves. Therefore, we have a lot of, you know, landmark achievements to show under this government in the fight against corruption, but I have never said it is perfect. I've never said we're 100% where we want to be, but at least we are making the giant steps to be where we want to be. As a committee, we have realized that a lot of work is being done by the federal government to fight corruption. But unfortunately, not much is taking place at the states and local governments. And these are agencies of government, levels of government, state and local government control close to 50% of the monthly allocation of the government, of the country. So we should also beam our searchlights to the states and governments. The way we are advocating inclusivity of the judiciary, we are also calling for the cooperation, collaboration, and participation of state governors and local government chairmen. Without them, the fight against corruption will be half done. It's just going to be federal. And federal alone is not the federal government alone that controls the resources of the country. The resources of the country are controlled by the federal government, state government, and local governments. And they must all be seen to be fighting corruption, because a holistic approach will give better results. But if you have federal government doing it, but others are not doing it, then there will be a lot of work to be done. We have also realized that that there must be some personal responsibility to make Nigeria better. You see, Nigerians should not just keep feeling that they must be monitored, they must be deterred, they must be scared before they do the right things. Every one of us has a conscience. We all have education, we are enlightened. So you don't need You don't need a policeman, ICPC, EFCC, custom, immigration to harass you, to intimidate you, to scare you, to do what is right. I mean, as a human being, you should be able to know what is reasonable, what is fair, what is objective, what is in the best interest of your country, in the best interest of your society. I mean, that is why you go to you are able to go to school. Going to school is to give you education that will serve you and serve society. So after education and assuming responsibility, and still you want somebody to come and control you before you do the right thing, I think it's not good enough. If we want to have a better Nigeria, then the citizens must be law-abiding. The citizens must respect rules, regulations, due process. Because if you are a lawbreaker, then you can't accuse the minister or the National Assembly of law-breaking. So all of us, individually, collectively, government agencies, local governments, state governments, federal government must work together towards a better society, because nobody can do it alone. The approach has to be collaborative, cooperative, and we have to coordinate properly and make sure we have a better country.
On a final note, since we're talking about collective action, we have experienced and seen the efforts by state governors to actually harass, intimidate, and even attack whistleblowers and advocates supporting government for in the anti-corruption, and also seen some agencies and officials of the federal government persecuting whistleblowers. On a final note, how do you want to assess the government's protection of whistleblowers and anti-corruption activists, and how do you also want to make a final suggestion on how to make it better?
Well, regarding whistleblowing in Nigeria, it's a mixed bag of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Unfortunately, some of the big whistleblowers are not as neutral as they should be. A whistleblower should be neutral. In the case of Kano, we had a Japar who was pretending to be a whistleblower, but was politically attached. So I am saying that whistleblowing is one of the fundamental ways of tidying our country. But the whistleblower himself or herself should be able to be fair, objective, investigative. It shouldn't be hearsay. It shouldn't be based on conjectures. It shouldn't be based on speculation. In a situation where somebody says he's a whistleblower but is based on guesswork, then he's likely to have reprisals. So we are calling on government agencies, departments, and ministries, you know, to respect whistleblowers, because it's an important ingredient in the fight against corruption. But the flip side of it is whistleblowers must be whistleblowers. In other words, they must be honest, they must be sincere. Let them do their politics separate from the whistleblowing, and let them not be engaged in slander. So I am saying that the next bill that you are likely to see will include the issue of the protection of whistleblowers. Even currently, under the law of the EFCC and the ICPC, there are protections for the whistleblowers. Again, whistleblowers have protection under some provisions in the Ministry of Finance. So people should read the guidelines in whistleblowing. You don't blow the whistle and go around and say that you are blown the whistle and no action has been taken. That's not whistleblowing, because you are exposing yourself as well. So there are guidelines for whistleblowing, and anybody who wants to blow the whistle is encouraged, but it should be done with decorum, with sincerity, with integrity, with honor, and it should be based on facts.
Thank you very much, Prof. It's been a wonderful experience and time having you as our guest.
Thank you.
We look forward to calling on you for further engagement in the nearest future. Thank you to our listeners and also the Yaradua Foundation and Heather, who are the organizers behind this podcast. We wish you a wonderful day. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. Bye.
To join the conversation about accountability in Nigeria, visit partnersunited.org. You can also visit report.corruptionanonymous.org to blow the whistle on any perceived corrupt act or to make a report on accountability or governance issues in Nigeria.